Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Disturbing testimony today at Boston Federal Court in the trial of Francis Cadillac Frank Salemi, the former head of the New England Mafia. Salemi is charged with the 1993 murder of South Boston nightclub owner Stephen DeSaro. The murder was to stop DeSaro from cooperating with the FBI. Today, the government's star witness, Stephen the Rifleman Flemmy, faced withering cross-examination in his second day of testimony. Now, the trial is dredging up Boston's violent past, one that ties together Salemi, who ran the New England Mafia, James Whitey Bulger, who ruled the so-called Irish mob, and Flemmy, a criminal who ran with them both. And WBUR special correspondent David Boeri is at Boston Federal Court covering the trial, and he joins us now. Hi there, David.
Hi, Magda.
So, David, when we talked to you yesterday in the first day of Flemmy's testimony, he couldn't even recognize Salemi. So what happened today?
So today he walked in the morning, crisply was escorted past the defense table, went to the witness's chair, looked back, locked on to Frank, and he did lock onto him. But it wasn't too hard because Frank was the only one there, and he was behind the sign that said, defendant.
So no confusion. No, I can't even see him. All right.
Well, not this time.
So Flemmy had to face cross-examination from Salemi's defense attorneys today. I mean, what was the mood in the courtroom when that was happening?
It got brittle pretty quickly. He had followed a direct testimony, which was in which he was cool. He was assured under the gentle questioning of the prosecutor. We'll get back to that in a moment. He laid out all these different crimes that he'd been involved with, many having nothing at all to do with Salemi, but he laid them out. And then there was the brief description of what had happened in Sharon in 1993, where he walked into the house on the murder of Stephen DeSaro, he says.
Well, so just on that point, though, David, I mean, that isn't that what makes Flemmy the government star witness, that he can put Salemi in the room?
So let me tell you exactly, and let me tell you what he said is regarding that today. He said that he had been involved in the nightclub in Boston, known as the Channel. He was aware of it. He was aware of his partner Frank Salemi's involvement with it. And he said that Frank was concerned that he had heard that there was, Frank was concerned because he had a lot of criminal activity going on. And Flemmy said that Salemi had told him that he had heard that that nightclub manager, DeSaro, had met with federal agents, and Salemi feared he would implicate him. So he said, oh, yeah, Frank wanted to kill him, meaning the nightclub manager. So on the morning of May 10th, 1993, Flemmy testified that he went by Salemi's house in Sharon, Massachusetts, and he was just seconds behind, he said, a group going in, including DeSaro. And so he said that he walked into the house as soon as he walked into the house, not minutes behind, but seconds behind. He saw DeSaro being strangled by Frank Salemi Jr. while Frank Salemi Sr. watched. And according to Flemmy, he said to Frank, I said to Frank, I'll see you later. I'm leaving. And he said that he wanted to get out of there. That was the testimony. It was surprisingly brief because he is, after all, the crucial witness. It was surprisingly brief compared to everything else, but that was the testimony that makes him the star witness.
Right. So that's what made the cross-examination, I feel like, even more fascinating, because defense spent a lot of time going through all the murders that Flemmy is associated with, right? I mean, didn't Salemi's lawyer basically start by asking Flemmy, like, how many murders did you participate in?
That's what he asked him. How many? And immediately, Flemmy, as he did during the Bulger trial when he was one of the star witnesses, he got agitated, started to talk back, wasn't responsive, got nervous, and he got nervous quickly. He went on to say, excuse me, Magda, he went on to say that he that he had committed these crimes, but he kept on pointing to Bulger and that Bulger was involved. He somehow tried to evade responsibility. He said about 50, probably about 50 he consented to after being harassed by Steve Buzang. And that's consistent, by the way, with what Kevin Weeks, who was Bulger's first lieutenant, once told me, that Flemmy had personally claimed 47. Yeah. And so what the prosecution had done was taken him through to try to remove some of the sting from the defense cross-examination. However, Buzang wanted to get into the details to let the jurors know who they were really dealing with as the government star witness.
Yeah, can I just jump in here, David?
Sure,
you were probably just going to get to it because, look, I'll be honest, you were in federal court today. There are no cameras or recording devices there, but I was following your Twitter feed. But, I mean, because there were some gruesome details coming out of the things that Flemmy did to those 47, 50 murder victims.
This was the job of introducing the jurors to your new government star witness, a guy who kills women, who killed his own girlfriend, and who killed his stepdaughter along with Bulger. And he did both. And that stepdaughter, he also had, according to testimony in the past and accusations, he had statutorily raped, along with raping his own daughter, according to people in that family. This is what the defense wants the jurors to know about this guy. And the position that Flemmy took was he was under pressure from Bulger. Buzang said, well, wait a minute. Aren't you equals? Yes, we're equals. Well, did you ever tell him to say stop? No. And then Buzang got into the real details about what it was like watching his girlfriend murdered as Bulger's hands strangled her. And to which Flemmy said, well, it was a very, very traumatic experience for me. Did he say no to stop it? No, he didn't. It got more and more gruesome, and then he went to the question. Buzang went to the question, which we've heard in previous testimony at Bulger's trial, about pulling the teeth from the victims and then grinding them up, and his technique was then to flush them down the toilet. This to his stepdaughter, this to Debbie Davis, his girlfriend.
Again, it's so a lot of time being spent under cross-examination going through the gory details of Flemmy's own criminal history. But again, as you said, he's the government star witness in its case against Salemi. So what's next in the trial?
Well, we're going to go back to these murders and to some of the most gruesome things about Stephen Flemmy, who, by the way, Kevin Weeks once told me that he and Bulger used to refer to Stephen Flemmy as Dr. Mengele. And so we're going to get into some just very sordid stuff. And by the way, this comes about after the questions by Fred Wyshak, the prosecutor, who led him through, but he led Flemmy through his own crimes with a very soft touch. For instance, and this was stunning to me, and I have to comment on it, he asked him about the murder of Deborah Hussey, the stepdaughter, to which Flemmy said, well, it was an indiscretion. The prosecutor, who acts prosecutorially in this case of his star witness, decided not to be prosecutorial and to say, indiscretion. Are you referring to the statutory rape of your stepdaughter as indiscretion? Didn't do it. Let it pass. So the defense wants to make the most of this monster in order to undercut his credibility. And, you know, the other approach for a prosecutor to take in this position wasn't taken here is to say, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, here is our star witness. I want you to know that we consider him to be morally contemptible. But the facts are that the facts and the witnesses, other witnesses' testimony corroborate him, and that's why he's here testifying. Yeah. Instead, there was a protection of Flemmy here. And so that's in balance to that is the defense presenting him as an absolute monster,
right,
who shouldn't be believed.
Well, you know, we've talked about how This is a case where both the defendant and the star witness for the government are octogenarians, which is, you know, seems to put a lot of distance between the crimes and the men as they are now. But hearing you, David, it just reminds us how brutal and violent and horrible a time period and how many victims we're talking about here.
It's comparable, Magna. It's sort of comparable to the trials of old Nazis and the camp guards who are in their 80s and 90s and look like they're defanged, and yet you realize and hear the monstrosity of what they did. And in this case, both the defendant himself, as well as the government star witness.
Well, that's WBUR special correspondent David Bowery speaking to us from Boston Federal Court. David, thank you as always.
You're welcome, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.